And we've got Sam Graves, and you're a congressman representative of Missouri?
Yeah, 6th District in Missouri.
6th District in Missouri. And you're very involved in aviation, I'm taking it. That's
yes.
why you're here. So and tell us a little bit about what you do and your interaction with the aviation and the government policies that you're working on.
Well, there obviously a lot of things going on in Washington right now, and there always is when it comes to aviation. I sit on the Transportation Committee and the Aviation Subcommittee. But a lot of things that we need to be aware of as pilots and you know, anyone involved in aviation. 100 low lead aviation fuel, that's a big issue that's kind of brewing right now on whether or not we're going to be able to have it in the future. And you know, if there are any alternatives out there, and trying to deal with what the EPA, they're trying to push it out. And obviously the FAA is involved with it too, because it's a safety issue. So we're dealing with that. We've also got FAA reauthorization, which is a bill that basically encompasses all of the FAA operations and funding operations and everything. And it goes through just laying out the policies for the FAA, and that's kind of working its way through through Congress right now. So those are two issues that are obviously very important to us.
Well, now on the first one, you mentioned the fuel, and of course in the automotive industry there is a huge push for alternative fuels. How is that permeating the aviation
field? Well, it's
field?
Right now, obviously, and if you're burning gasoline, it's 100 low lead. That's the fuel that that we all use. And there's a push by the EPA to remove all of the lead contaminants that are out there in everything, obviously. And aviation fuel is one of those areas they have determined could be a source of lead contamination. So, you know, they're working through trying to push 100 low lead out. Well, the problem with that is we got all these airplanes out here that's all they burn. And we have to have 100 low lead for two reasons. One is the lead in the fuel actually lubricates the engine. There's certain qualities to it that we need. And the second one is performance. If you pull the lead out of 100 octane fuel, the octane level drops, and so your performance level drops, and it changes the performance characteristics on just about every airplane out there. New production airplanes, you know, they're working very quickly to try to find, you know, an alternative fuel, and that's much easier when you're talking about a new engine. The problem is, and what worries me, is you've got, you know, a fleet of, you know, hundreds of thousands of aircraft out there that are either vintage, mm-hmm. Or they're warbird, high performance, or they're just standard general aviation aircraft that were built with an engine that needs 100 low lead. Well, if you take that away, what are we going to do? You know, the alternatives could be extremely expensive, whether it's an overhauled engine or, you know, putting new valves in it, which would accept, you know, a lower lead content. So it's a big issue for everybody out there, and the fix could be extraordinarily expensive for some folks.
And what about the involvement of the engine manufacturers, Continental and Lycoming, getting involved?
They're obviously very involved from the standpoint of, you know, the future of aviation. You know, and the groups that are working on this, EAA has been very active, the Government Relations Department, in this issue for a long time. AOPA is very active in it. GAMA, the General Aviation Manufacturers, are very active in it. The National Business Aviation Association is very active. So all the groups that work with members of Congress and government relations are, you know, pursuing this. But obviously, those manufacturers are looking for some sort of a fix. And if there's even, you know, that's one of the big questions out there, too. Is there an alternative? We haven't been able to find one yet, an alternative fuel. We haven't been able to find one yet, so some of them we're looking at from the standpoint of just, you know, obviously changing the engines.
So, unfortunately, there is no good alternative that's an inexpensive for replacing that yet.
Yeah, there isn't, and that's what's got a lot of people concerned. Because if you get to the point where the EPA just eliminates it and stops it, you know, the big question is, does that ground all of these aircraft out here? You know, what are we going to do? If you do put fuel, you know, a no-lead fuel in an engine, you know, you can burn up the valves. You can do a variety of things. It's going to make the life of that engine much shorter, you know, and you know, it's going to create a lot of problems for folks out there.
Well, how likely or possible is some sort of, instead of, you know, I guess for lack of a better analogy, a cold turkey policy of, you know, let's pull the lead out and just deal with it, would be some sort of, you know, transitional plan over time?
One of the transitional plans that's being looked at is to reduce the lead content to a point and then continue forward at least until we possibly find an alternative. There are some groups out there looking at alternatives, but again, we have not, you know, found anything good yet. But that's one of the possible options. is to move forward with a smaller lead content in the fuel. Another option, too, is just looking at what the health hazards are. Is there a health hazard? You know, it's a little bit of a different situation than, you know, lead paint around your house where, you know, kids could get into it or whatever the case may be, and that's always been a concern is lead contamination in children. But at an airport, that's a little bit of a different situation. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have necessarily that problem. So one of the things we're looking at is it really a problem? Is it something that we can manage, you know, control and move forward with?
Well, what is the lead content, and how much are they talking about possibly reducing it in the for the short term?
Well, that's a big question right now, and one of the things that we're trying to do is get some funding to the FAA to conduct some more research to see how low we could go, you know, whether that figure is 25% of the lead content we have now, 50% of the lead content we have now, which would obviously dramatically reduce the amount of lead. You know, the question is, can these engines operate on, and we believe they can. They can operate on a lower content, but we have to worry about the performance of that engine. When you remove, you know, say 50% of the lead, how much does it hurt the octane level and the performance of that engine?
And is there something that you can put in there to boost the octane without?
That's the next question. Can we do that? Is there an alternative or something that we can do that with? So there's a lot of unanswered questions out there, and it's something that we need to be very mindful of and pay very close attention to. And it's also something, you know, I would like to see the FAA, you know, not move too fast. Because we have to, you know, we have to find an alternative, and it's going to take time.
And see what happens with it, and have time to see how it falls out and addresses the problems or not before you continue.
And we're hoping the FAA engages a little bit more, too, because it's a big safety issue. The FAA is, they have jurisdiction over fuel and over the, you know, as far as a safety issue goes. The EPA, though, their component to this whole thing is the attainment standards in you know, in states and in cities and whatever the case may be.
And you also mentioned reauthorization.
Reauthorization.
So what's going on with that a little bit?
It's been delayed. We still haven't gotten a reauthorization. But what happens is every 6 years or so, Congress goes in and they reauthorize, for instance, in this case, the Federal Aviation Administration. And basically it sets up their operating procedures, what they do, you know, how they do it, and various things like that. It deals with air traffic control issues, deals with, you know, the next generation of air traffic control.
Right.
It deals with certification issues. Everything is in there. And we've been very slow. One of the things, obviously, was very controversial the last couple of years was user fees and how they're going to pay for the FAA. So we're dealing with that.
That's a huge point, and a lot of our people are really interested in that. And it's my understanding that user fees are dead. Is that correct?
Nothing's dead in Washington. nothing dies in Washington. In this particular bill, yes, there will be no user fees in there. What we have to be worrisome of, though, or what we have to worry about is in the future, that making its way in there or being added in there or being dropped in there, say, in a conference committee or something like that.
Now, one quick question. I know you deal with the general aviation, and are you kind of a lone soldier, or is there a fairly good representation of GA versus commercial?
There's a pretty good representation. There's not a lot of just pilots in Congress, but there's a lot of general aviation-friendly folks in Congress, but there's also enemies, too.
Hmm. Okay. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time here. We do appreciate you coming in, and we'll be looking for you around the field. And I'm sure you have an office and you're on some online presence if somebody has concerns.
Absolutely. They can. We have an online presence and with both the Small Business Committee and my website. And yeah, absolutely. Anybody can find me and get a hold of me.
All right. And I see Director of Warbirds of America there. So are you?
I'm one of the board members with the Warbirds group with the AA.
All right. Well, thank you. We've been talking to Sam Graves and Representative Sam Graves.
That's right.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.